First John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appears so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Hello everyone. Due to the extraordinary situation, we have to continue worship separately at our own places. But I am grateful that we can turn our hearts toward the same God and worship Him. We share the same faith and the same hope. At the same time, I continue to pray that the situation gets better. I also pray for those who are put in a difficult situation due to the pandemic. May God continue to protect them, support them, and bless them. Meanwhile, Kyoto, Okinawa, and Peru in South America. These are the places that I recently traveled virtually. Not actually, but virtually. I wish I could say I actually traveled these places, but because of the situation, I can't take a trip right now. I like traveling, so the current situation is frustrating, but recently I came across a few good TV shows that explore Kyoto, Okinawa, and Peru, and now I feel like I traveled these places through the screen. Someday, I would like to actually visit these places when everything gets back to normal. Speaking of travel, it is often said that our Christian life on earth is like a journey. In fact, Peter calls Christians in this way. in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. Also, when the author of the epistle of Hebrew talks about the great people in the Old Testament, he writes, they were foreigners and strangers on earth, in Hebrew chapter 11, verse 13. It is true that we Christians have been accepted by God and we can go to heaven. But that does not mean that we go to heaven immediately after we are saved. Normally, we are to remain in this world for a while until God calls us. And in this world, we are travelers spiritually because we do not belong to this world. And through our spiritual journey in this world, our relationship with God is strengthened and we grow spiritually. So, we should continue our spiritual journey, although there may be moments that you are tempted to stop the journey and become the people of this world permanently. But we should continue our spiritual journey, and that's the message John gives us in today's verses. So let's look at today's verses together. John, the writer of the letter, says in today's verses, we are God's children. Verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Like I said, as Christians, we are spiritually traveling in this world, in this earthly world, and we have been given, as it were, a passport to enter our final destination, heaven. By the way, a normal passport provides information on the traveler. My passport provides my information, such as my name, the birth date, etc. And the spiritual passport that we bring with us says we are God's children. Isn't it great? We are God's children. And that is only because of God's grace. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. As you may know, in February and March, a lot of senior students of middle school and high school take exams in order to enter high schools and universities in Japan. They study and get prepared for the exam very hard so that they get accepted by the school that they want to go. It is important for them to study hard. But when it comes to our salvation, it is impossible for us to be saved and accepted to be God's children, no matter how hard we try. We need salvation because of our sins, but unfortunately, we can never purify ourselves by our own efforts. The power of sin is that much powerful and deadly. However, there is a way to be cleansed from our sins. That is, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is completely sinless and who died on the cross for us, we can be cleansed from our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He, that is God, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful love of God! In fact, in today's verses, John writes, what great love the Father has lavished on us in verse 1. By the way, when John writes what great love in verse 1, he uses an interesting Greek word that originally means something like foreign or something not from our country. So, what John is trying to imply here is God's love is beyond our earthly standard or our normal way of thinking. We don't think this way. A sinful person should die for sinful people. But God did it because of His love toward us. And by faith in Jesus as the Savior, we are made righteous. What great love of God! Meanwhile, John says in today's verses, in verse 6, all who have this hope in Him purify themselves. This is verse 3. And in verse 6, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. But when he writes so, he does not mean Christians are strong enough not to sin and they can always avoid sinning during the spiritual journey on earth. Instead, what John means here is this. Christians sometimes fail, but if they sincerely admit their weaknesses and return to God to rely on Him, God continues to accept them as God's children because of what Jesus has done for us. So, we have been given a great privilege to be God's children, and we have our spiritual passport to heaven, so to speak. But, like I said earlier, God did not send us to heaven immediately after we were saved, because we are to live in this world until God calls us. Until then, our spiritual journey continues. And through this spiritual journey, our relationship with God is developed and we are spiritually strengthened. That way, we grow spiritually. The process of our spiritual growth is like the growth of a seed. Interestingly, John says, God's seed remains in them. That is Christians. John says, God's seed remains in them. In verse 9 of today's verses. By the way, when it comes to the seed of plants, how does a seed function? How does a seed function? A seed is absolutely necessary for the life of a plant. Without a seed, it is impossible for a plant to begin to exist. And a seed is to sprout and grow. So, a seed is not to remain as a seed, but it is supposed to grow. And eventually, a the plant bears fruit. If the plants grow very well, it could bear countless fruits. Mentioning God's seed, which is an interesting expression, John basically says God's seed has been sown in our soul. Like I said earlier, we have been God's children already. We have that great privilege. But like a seed of a plant sprawl, grow, and bear fruit, we are supposed to spiritually grow too. Our relationship with God is to be developed so that we can enjoy the relationship with God even more. And through the spiritual journey, we Christians participate in this world until God calls us, we experience the process of spiritual growth. And through the process, we are transformed into what we are truly supposed to be, that is, the likeness of Christ. The point of our spiritual journey is the transformation into the likeness of Christ. John writes in verse 2 of today's verses, in verse 2, what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, that is Christ. The shall be of the part we shall be like Him in the verse is expressed in the future tense in the original Greek as well. So we have not been like Christ, but we are to be like Christ. We are in the process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. By the way, what is the likeness of Christ? What does it mean to be like Christ? That does not mean we physically become exactly like Jesus. If so, I think we would need a name tag in heaven because we would be unable to tell who is who. But being transformed into the likeness of Christ means that we are gradually transformed so that we share the mind of Christ and the nature of Christ. In the way Christ loves His Father, we love God the Father. In the way Jesus treats people, we treat others. In the way Christ seeks peace, we seek peace. The point is to love our God and our neighbors by sacrificing our own preferences and desires. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. So, we are supposed to be transformed into the likeness of Christ as we spiritually grow. But perhaps you might wonder, is it really possible? I have been Christian for quite some time, but I don't really think I have been changed much. Instead, I repeatedly fail. I don't know about you, but as I think about myself, I must confess that often I feel that way. It is true that we are God's children, but still we have weaknesses and we often fail. But John, the writer of the letter, knew that. He completely understood that kind of reality. In fact, when John wrote the letter, there were a few people who were giving up their spiritual journey and stopped loving brothers and sisters in Christ. Like them, sometimes we too feel as if it is meaningless to continue the spiritual journey that seeks the likeness of Christ. But John writes in verse 7, "Do not let anyone lead you astray." John says, if you feel your spiritual journey, Christian life on earth, is meaningless, that is not true. Don't be deceived by ideas like that, John says. But instead, we should remember once again, we are already God's children, and there is God's seed in us. And the final point I'd like to add is that it is not our power or ability that makes us grow spiritually. It is not us, but God who makes us grow spiritually. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." So, the important thing for us is that let God walk through our lives. We should be open to God and submissive toward Him so that God can freely work through us and transform us. And we need to have a kind of mind that seeks God and rely on God instead of relying on our own ways or power. I'd like to close this sermon by sharing three passages from the Bible. The first passage is Psalm 42, verse 1. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." And Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, we praise your name. Due to the extraordinary situation, we have been unable to gather together at the church building. But we are grateful because we can turn our hearts to you and worship the same God, you, wherever we are. Although we worship you at different places, we are one family because we are your children. Thank you so much for the great privilege to be called your children. As your children, we start a new week and continue our spiritual journey. Please be with us and guide us and continue to transform us so that we can reflect the nature of Christ in this world. We continue to pray for the end of the coronavirus pandemic. We especially pray for the patients. May your hand of healing upon them. Also, we pray for the medical workers and all the other workers and the leaders of countries and cities. Please help them and guide them with your wisdom. We also pray for those who are put in a financially difficult situation. Thank you for this opportunity to listen to your word and worship you. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.